Hey guys, this is Nathan from Church in a Brewery, and this is the Church in a Brewery podcast.
Woo.
So, yeah, I'm sitting here with Heath, and we have a special guest, Santia Ware.
Hi, I'm here also.
She is a local musician, and she's been out to Brewery Church a few times. Heath and I met her, when was that? Right Kirby's. Before COVID.
That was March, there was Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Right before COVID, we both were playing there at Kirby's, like a week before the quarantine happened.
Right. So everybody was like, stay home. And we were like, no.
Yeah.
And then we were like, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Then life got real weird.
Yeah, it did.
So Monday at Church in a Brewery, we were talking about justice and talking about it as an evidence of God's existence. Like sometimes we talk about origin of the universe, origin of life, and these are big things that we point to as evidence of the existence of a creator. But I actually think there's a lot of other more subtle things too. Basically, whatever our worldview is, we have to be able to explain how all of the main big characteristics of this world got here. Mm-hmm. And one of those, I think, is justice. The existence of justice almost seems like we've been pre-programmed to search for it, like it's an external thing. What do you think?
So we're moving from historical perspective to moral.
Philosophical
yes. perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Something you can't outright prove empirically.
Right. You have to find a bunch of different things that point to it. It's circumstantial evidence.
Well, I mean, just... if you think about the evolution of society, and I think that that's something that I had brought up on Monday, how we eventually have some sort of rules for different things just to help us live and function as a social group, some of that can be considered justice. So that's one thing that I thought was interesting. You also have a couple of different levels of justice. Like you have your justice, like human justice, you have godly justice that, which is based on grace, based in grace, to where you kind of go out of the norm of what you would do in a society in order to have a fair justice that would give people a chance to repent. It's like a repentance type justice. So mm-hmm. that was one of the things I was milling around with after the discussions is godly justice would be more like a graceful justice, and that would be more what would be internal, is showing that grace. What do you guys think?
Huh, that's interesting.
What would be a goal of human justice if the goal of godly justice is repentance?
The goal of human justice would be order.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. Is that different from fairness?
No.
So it's like the same thing.
Yeah, but fairness is relative. So somebody can think one thing is fair, and then somebody else could think a different version of that thing is fair. And that's kind of where we get the imbalance in justice, is interpretation.
We talked a lot about how humans can't figure out exactly what true justice is. You mentioned levels of justice. We talked about there seems to be man's justice and then God's justice, and man's justice is like, we're throwing a dart at a dartboard, and true justice is the bullseye. Sometimes we hit it and sometimes we don't. I think it's still a thing. True justice exists, but as humans, we can't quite see what it would be, what true fairness would be all the time, which is why, I mean, I think if we could, we'd be God, right?
Right.
So if you fired 200,000 darts at a bullseye, most of them would land closer to the bullseye than farther away, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would think so, unless you're just really bad aim.
So it regresses to the mean, where the mean is the bullseye. Mm-hmm. It's like a bell curve. If you mm-hmm. flatten them out, you're going to have most of these, but then you'll have the fringe cases where they're not exactly fair, or people will get let off the hook.
Yeah.
Or self-interest comes into play, or people are wrongly accused, and it goes the other way.
How would you flatten out a curve?
No, that makes sense, because obviously we'd try to get our human justice system more and more fair, right, if we can, and eliminate some of those outliers. But it is a little scary to me, because I feel like if you go to court, or if you're accused of something, or let's say you do commit a crime, You might get a lenient judge. You might get a judge that gives you a really harsh sentence. I don't know. There's a spectrum for humans where we're trying to throw the dart and hit true justice.
Right, because we have to base justice off of what we can prove.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even what we can see. Our justice system is based off of what we can prove.
Or what's been shown to be good for society.
That and intent. Like, what was your intention in doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Which is almost based off of, I would assume, the heart, like godly justice. It's just, what was your intention in doing it? So our imperfection is trying to guess what somebody's intention is.
You mean we can't read minds?
Yeah.
What if you have good intent when off and murdered someone? Would your sentence still be the same?
You mean like vigilante justice? Like, oh, by killing this person, I'm preventing 20 murders.
Yeah, well, do have anti-lynching laws.
There was a guy that was going around killing child molesters with hammers.
Whoa,
really?
Yeah.
Is his name Thor?
No, it was just some guy. It's like Henry. His name was John, something like that. But he's just like, he went on social media, I think it was, and he found like pedophilic people, and he found them and beat them with hammers.
And
he got sent to jail because you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to let the justice system take its course. And then, you know, he got sentenced for beating people with hammers. Intent was to kill them. So attempted murder. But for everybody who saw the story, he was a hero. So maybe justice isn't made by popular opinion, or you'd have people going around killing child molesters with hammers, which, you know, whatever. But you shouldn't kill people with hammers. Like, that's all I'm saying is it's not something you should do.
Us humans can't seem to figure out what right and wrong is. I mean, humanity as a whole can't agree, like, this is always wrong, or in this situation, it's always...
We got to do the best that we can.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the law enforcement and stuff. Well, one of the illustrations I gave on Monday night to express that it seems like justice comes from somewhere else, not from man, was about police interrogations and lie detector tests. So I was listening to a Cold Case Christianity podcast once, and the detective was explaining how police do lie detector tests. And when they hook somebody up to a lie detector test, they ask them a bunch of questions up front, like, you know, what's your name? Stuff they know the answer to so that they know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ask them to intentionally lie. So they ask them to say, like, say your name's Bugs Bunny. That was the example that they gave on this podcast. Well, even though the person has permission to lie, the brainwaves still register as a lie, like as if the brain knows that it's not telling the truth. And that was really perplexing to me, because if you don't lie, then you're breaking a rule. So like in that situation, they told you to lie. That's the instruction. They gave you permission. You know it's a bogus lie, and you know they know it's a lie. So like, is it even really a lie? But the brain like still registers that as a lie. And then they use that as a baseline to determine whether or not that person is lying on other statements. So this guy was saying that because of that, it seems like we have some kind of internal, I don't know, sense of justice that comes from somewhere else. And he was saying it's God. What do you think about that?
Makes me not want to take a lie detector test, because I'll end up being caught in my words or something.
Do you think there's like an objective source of justice that's separate from man? Because the reason I ask this is because some people would say that justice just comes from man, and each country comes up with their own laws, and we're the highest source of justice. But this guy is suggesting that there is a justice above that, that is God's justice.
Right. So I could agree with that. I think one of the examples that we had at the brewery was when somebody was talking about how ripping off a baby.
Oh, yeah.
like how if a baby has a piece of candy and then you take it away from them, they know that you're ripping them off. Like they already have an inherent sense that this is something that belongs to them and you're not supposed to take it. So there's something ingrained in people. Just to have some sort of sense of fairness or justice. Even in the animal kingdom, they have hierarchies to where you have just like the monarchs and the pawns and the queens or whatever they have for the animal kingdom. It seems like it's something that's natural, at least a sense of fairness.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. What do you think?
I think justice would require fairness to be just. I guess they're part of the same principle. Like, what's justice without fairness?
Fairness could be like, who does this property belong to? And you have to split it up and make it fair and equal. That could be one thing. And justice could be, I guess it could be part of that, but it could also be like, some guy committed a crime. What is the correct punishment? How do you make it right?
Right.
So I guess,
what's the law say?
I mean, think of King Solomon and then the two ladies that came in with the baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
cut this baby
so
in half.
So justice would be cut the baby in half.
Give half to each woman.
Yeah. So in that story, two women claimed to be the mom of this baby. So Solomon, I believe as a bluff, said, okay, well, we'll give each of you half the baby, which is kind of messed up. But that caused one woman to say, the baby's not mine. And I think that was the real mom, because she
the real mom said, let her have the baby because she would rather save her baby than see it cut in half. Mm-hmm. That whole thing is a whole thing. Like, you can think about that for days. But yeah, so his justice was kind of a rougher justice. And I agree that he's probably just bluffing or whatever else, maybe. I don't know.
It's scary if he's not.
I don't know. We'll never know. We have that. Justice sucks sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I've done things that I'm, you know, I probably deserve to face justice for. I mean, not anything huge. But,
you're a criminal?
Well, I don't know. When I was a kid, I like threw rocks at buildings and things like that. I mean, you know.
Was it clear to you that you shouldn't throw rocks at buildings?
I believe it was. Well, that was also one of the things we talked about. Everybody has this internal knowledge of good and evil, right? But some people throw that for a loop because they obviously do bad things regularly. Well, there's no real way to test this, but my theory is, like, most of the time we know that we're doing something wrong, at least on the obvious things. Mm-hmm. We would all agree that, I don't know, shoving an old lady down the stairs is wrong, right?
What if she's a jerk, though?
Well, okay, let's we can find a situation where everyone agrees.
The nicest
old person that you've ever met, or a kid, shoving a kid down a stair, we could all agree that that's bad, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are going to do that anyways, but I think deep down, like, they know that was wrong, but they had some kind of motivation to do it. So it's not that they don't know this is wrong. Mm-hmm. I think they know. They just act against that.
Yeah, you have to convince yourself. Like, the first time that any kid steals something, they feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. There isn't, and it's if they're intentionally stealing something, not if they put it in their pocket and came home and then it was in there. But if they saw something and they knew it wasn't theirs and they took it, they automatically feel bad about it. And nobody has to tell them anything. And then if somebody brings it up, then they either get defensive, start crying, something like that. So yeah, people know when we're doing wrong. And then over time, you have to convince yourself that, oh, well, they have more money than I do, so then I could just take it. Or they're mean people, so I could just take it and that's fine. Or I have a hard time in life, so I could just take it and it's fine. It's a whirlwind of just lies. Mm-hmm. You got to lie to yourself a lot in order to go ahead and be unjust and be unfair.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd prove it, but you think deep down they know that it's wrong. They've just almost rationalized it in some way.
Yeah.
To be okay with it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then if somebody were to tell them, hey, you just stole this, the truth becomes something that makes them defensive.
Right.
When I was 5 years old, I was at this place called Leakers. It's like a really, really small grocery store. And there was a piece of Bazooka bubblegum out in a display. And I took it and I put it in my pocket and didn't think anything of it. I was like, hey, this is bubblegum. I didn't know I had to pay for anything. I was five years old. And so I got out of the car and I started opening this bubblegum. And mom's like, where'd that come from? And I said, well, they just had it sitting out on the display. I thought it was free or whatever the five-year-old me said. And she said, well, you're not supposed to do that. That's stealing. So in a way, I was taught that something was bad. Mm. Like, innately, when I was 5 years old, I didn't know that it was stealing.
Ooh.
So I was taught the concept of theft. And then from that moment on, you know, every time I take something without paying for it, I go back to that moment and be like, well, yeah, I'm not supposed to do that. I don't know which question this dealt with, but you mentioned that God is like a ruler.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know what an inch is if you can't see the ruler? He said you can get close, but to get the exact amount of an inch, you have to measure it with a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
But you can take your finger, your thumb, or whatever, and the width of your thumb supposedly is an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Imperial measurements, I don't know how they got them.
Yeah.
The king probably just said, hey, my thumb is the standard measurement. And there you go.
Everybody clapped and they had ham.
Yeah, they didn't want killed by a king.
Yeah, we seem to know that there is a standard measurement of justice out there, right?
Right.
And we're trying to figure out, all trying to figure out what it is. I think that that is what God has revealed to us.
So is that the reason that he sent Moses on the mountain?
Yeah.
To go and get the Ten Commandments?
I look
at... To bring
at,
the law as a hard rock
mm-hmm.
down to the people that frankly doubted just because of what he said.
The people asked for the commandments, though.
They agreed to him. God told them, I'll make this deal with you. I'll give you these laws, and if you follow these, I'll bless you, and I'll make you my treasured possession. And they were like, oh, yeah. So they get these laws from God, which I believe are the ruler, the standard of measurement for right and wrong, so they would know. So a lot of people ask me, like, wow, the Old Testament just seems like a bunch of rules. It's so harsh and stuff. And I think it was a necessary part of the process because we had to know what, you know, in inches, we had to know what the standard of measurement was of right and wrong. So now that we have that, like, we don't get struck dead because we're out, I don't know, working on Sunday or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we can look at the Bible and we now know right and wrong in God's eyes. So we know what that justice above man's justice would look like. We can still choose to do bad things, but we have a ruler, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you saw God do all these things, like smoke an entire mountain, and he gave you laws, and you saw the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of whatever by day? Like, you saw all these things, and you still turn your back on the law? Like, what did you expect was going to happen?
Oh,
well, the tough thing about that is I don't think the law was, like, fully achievable for humans. Like, I think that's kind of the point. Like, the laws were so strict. The Ten Commandments, they're not as hard, but I guarantee we've all at least told a lie, and we've probably all broken several of the others.
If you failed one, you failed them all.
But the point of all those laws, I think, was to show that we can't meet God's standard of justice. Like, we can probably get by in man's society and not break very many laws. I don't know, we probably speed and, you know, it, like, if we really want to, we can get by in this system, but, like, we can't meet God's level of perfection. So he provided, like, a temporary solution to that.
Mm.
But ultimately, I think the point was to see, like, oh, we don't meet God's standard of justice. And so that's why he sent Jesus, because he mediates for us.
I could see that.
Early on, Santi, you mentioned that Cain and Abel. You remember that?
Yeah.
Cain was banished.
Yes.
Instead of smited by God.
Right, because of
the... What did you think of that?
Well...
Like, he was sent into exile and no one... Given assurance that no one was going to kill him.
Right, so just with the whole story of Cain and Abel, just Adam and Eve's son, to where Cain was jealous of his brother and one day he took him out in a field and killed him because of just outright jealousy. He was just sickening. And sickened with jealousy. And it was the first murder that was recorded. And instead of murdering Cain back, which would be what a man-made law would say, eye for an eye, instead of doing that, he banished him and said that nobody could kill him, put a mark on him, let him get married to somebody. And then they all ran off and made a whole village and country and lineage and all sorts of different things. And the point of bringing that up on Monday that I remember was just that God's grace doesn't necessarily match man's justice.
Yeah, he still gave him a chance to redeem himself.
Yep, so he had a chance to repent and then figure out himself and what was really bothering him about him and his brother.
That reminds me of my favorite quote from Daredevil season 2. God decides who lives and who dies.
I was wondering when you're going to bring something about Daredevil up.
All right, I got one last question that somebody asked me during a brewery church. This is a really good question. They asked me, how do you know that we didn't get justice through evolution? Because you could say that we just figured out what justice was by thinking, does this hurt someone? Does this not hurt someone? So you could think that maybe we figured it out that way, or that we evolved in doing what was best for society and we came up with this idea of justice that is still being perfected. Do you see any holes in the evolutionary theory of how we got justice?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that, because it's trial and error, justice period. Like, you can only eat so many children before you need to before you know that you need children to make another society. So, oh, that was a terrible example, but you know what I mean. Yeah, trial and error over time, you eventually come up with lots and lots and lots and lots of laws. We have millions of laws, like hundreds and thousands of laws for one thing, just because things keep coming up. Mm-hmm. So you start off with your 10 commandments, and then you have your 300,000 gun laws. Like, it just...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I talked about how many gun laws there were.
Yeah.
It was like 22,000 in
America. 22,000. I thought it was 300,000.
Okay, might so well be. You're saying we got the starting point from God, and we have added on to the law ever since, basically, right?
Pretty much.
Because there's all these situations like, what do you do if your neighbor steals your mail? Or now we have cars. What happens if somebody steals your car? So we start adding on these other situations. Is that what you mean?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. If we're thinking like primordial ooze, like, I don't know what laws you would even need at that point. Just like, don't slither in your neighbor's slither.
Oh, that's what one thing that we brought up was, let's say man evolved without God. It doesn't necessarily work if God doesn't give us some kind of a moral framework, because we would probably kill each other first or something, right? Unless we had some kind of internal knowledge to not hurt each other or things like that. The big illustration I brought up, after I thought about the question for a little bit, I thought about the classic example is the caveman story, right? Mm. Where there's two tribes and one family over here, they've got lots of food and this other family is starving. The one family over here that doesn't have the food, if they're going to survive, they've got to go steal this food from this rival group, right? Mm-hmm. But that would not necessarily be the just thing to do. So if they're really going to be selfless, then they have to just accept that they're going to starve. And then the trait of selflessness, the trait of justice, would die off with that family. So if you're thinking about survival of the fittest, justice doesn't work there through evolution without help from God, I think.
Right. I think one of the coolest points when that conversation came up was the right to life. Like, in order to go ahead and be just to your starving caveman family, you need to find a way for them not to die. So if the only way that you cannot die is to go steal food, then that's your justice, because you have that right to life. And then somebody else brought up, why didn't they get themselves together? Why in the world didn't they prepare for whatever was going on? So forth and so on. And that brings up accountability and forethought and self-sufficiency. And so we have all of these different avenues and roads that this can travel in. So justice, once again, in this situation, is relative.
So to one family, you're being unjust, and the other one, you're being just.
If it all came down to your family starving or you stealing, I don't know how many people would just let their family die.
Yeah, there's some kind of protective measure that we have. But you think, we're talking about the levels of justice now. You think there's ultimately a right thing to do above that? We just might not do it.
Right.
Even if it was our family that was going to die, killing the other family, what do you think? Would that be justified? Or would that just be, this is kind of a broken earth situation?
Why you got to kill them? Why can't you just steal some, like, meat or something? Nobody said go kill anybody. Oh, my God.
Well, even, okay. let's say you stole their food, but then they have less food, so then they're in jeopardy.
Oh, well, bad for them. I don't.
Is it justified though? Like, even if you're keeping your family alive?
That's a really gray area. That's a really gray area. Can't really say.
Only God knows, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why everybody works together at some point. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't have to be the story. You get villages, then villages fight. When you get to a point of abundance, then you just fight over additional abundance. That's not justice.
I bet most families would have a hard time trying to decide, like, do I do this to protect my family or do I just starve? Like, I bet that would be hard for pretty much anybody.
I've been reading about dictators lately.
Yay, it's so fun.
I'll make this short. So I've been reading about Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong, and Stalin was over the Soviet Union, and Mao Zedong was over China, and Saddam Hussein, you know, in Iraq, and all these guys had something in common, and they were all in it for themselves, especially Joseph Stalin. He was responsible for more deaths than Hitler. All these people were out for themselves, and they thought, in fact, Mao Zedong actually said that the world exists for him. So they were extremely self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their justice is to make the world revolve around them. And if something doesn't happen, they have the resources, the communication strategies with, well, some of them, to influence others to act on their behalf, or they'll be killed. It's effective, as you've seen, mm-hmm. throughout the decades. So justice to them would be, hey, I'm going to rule and there's nothing you can do about it. If it was an evolutionary thing, I feel like that would take hold because you wouldn't have anyone fighting them, right? You'd have all these dictators fighting for each other, and eventually one's going to win out over the next and kill everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it goes to that extreme.
But is that really justice, or is that extreme narcissism?
Well,
that's why he's reading the book.
I guess that brings up the nature of justice. For human justice, I guess you can consider that just one example. Yeah. Obviously, it's not godly justice. If godly justice is based on love, that isn't love, you know, killing people that disagree with you just because they disagree with you.
True.
So yeah, I think you're right in that there are levels, and ultimately there's a godly level.
Yeah, which we can't totally see. So now that I'm trying to sort all this out in my head, because it's a huge concept, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, so there's God's justice, which we have a piece of it because we've got the Bible, but not everybody in the world necessarily looks at the Bible as the standard of measurement. So you've got that thrown in there. But even with that, I still think trying to figure out how God would deal with these situations is like trying to throw that dart at the bullseye, because we don't have that perfect knowledge. So I think what we're left with is maybe kind of like man's justice is always going to be flawed and maybe relative,
mm-hmm.
because we do the best that we can, but we're operating in the spectrum of what we think right and wrong is. And so like the gray situations, like what do you do when your family's going to die? Like, those are hard situations. Or what is the proper punishment for some guy who killed someone somewhat accidentally, but is still responsible? I don't know. We can't come up with a concrete, this is the right thing to do in this situation. This is the punishment on all of those situations. We hit the bullseye sometimes, and sometimes we don't. So I have to think that God knows, and ultimately he's going to sort it out. So I think that's why Jesus is ultimately the judge. He's going to sort it out, but he's going to be both fair and have grace. That's appealing to me because I'm watching man try to figure out how to operate and try to figure out what's fair and fail to agree on it. And I'm like, thank God that there is God and he knows and he'll figure it out.
Have you ever made a mistake?
Oh, yeah.
And then figured out, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have made the mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I did that this morning. I was like, oh goodness, should call her back.
Yeah, I've made quite a bit of mistakes, but I'm thankful for that forgiveness that's there. There's room for forgiveness and justice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you were talking about lenient judges. That is really appealing to me. Like, yeah, I made a mistake and someone lets me off the hook,
mm-hmm.
you know, multiple times.
Right.
I could have been fired for some of my stupid mistakes. I was fired for some of my stupid mistakes. But, you know, all of that seems to work together for not just my benefit, but for the benefit of others. It's like God is active throughout all of this. Like, he's not just aloof letting humans make their own decisions. Okay, sometimes he lets them make their own decisions.
He's not absent, though.
He lets it happen because he knows what will result from it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Like, one of the guys mentioned a web. Like, all these infinite possibilities. Yeah, this web of possibilities. And mm-hmm. God knows what's going to happen no matter what you do. He has a purpose, and he'll let you do any number of things that can result in that purpose. You can still offer grace and still have his purpose. If he loves us the way he says he does, he'll let us make mistakes and he'll let us grow from them, and we'll be better off for it. And so will other people. In a way, the world is complex.
It is.
Sometimes good comes to those who deserve it, and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we may hate that. Sometimes that's just the way it is. That's a hard truth to deal with because we can't control that.
It is. It
stuff
is.
Stuff we can't control. I'm bad at that.
Hey, yeah, I am too. Not easy. Well, thank you guys for being on the podcast. Santia, we're going to go jam because you've got a peace rally coming up.
Yeah, it is going to be Saturday in front of the Warren Theater downtown between 3 and 6. And we're having a Let Love Rule peace rally because everybody's fighting and there's a lot of tension, and it just would be good for everybody to get together, jam, and speak of love and harmony instead of what we're dealing with right now. Even just for 3 hours, if we have peace, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think that's really cool that you're doing something positive about the current situation.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, some of the stuff we see.
As many blessings as I've experienced in my life, I wouldn't feel right, at least not trying.
That's awesome. I'm going to be playing guitar for you, and you're going to be singing.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really fun.
That's going to be so cool. And we have Roy Moy III is going to be there, who is a local gospel artist. He's also in Real Men, Real Heroes, and he has like 1,000 albums. We have Kent Rogers that's also going to be there, who was a local pastor for the United Methodist Church. And then he went on about his business, but he has something known as Love Period, which is one of his biggest points that he always makes, is that we just need to love, period. And then we have Sprout the Anti-Hero, which he's an amazing musician and just an awesome and amazing person. So it's really going to be awesome.
Very cool.
Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. I know Sprout a little bit because I opened for him for my first show in Wichita. So that's cool. But, all right. Well, thank you for joining me. We meet at Augustino Brewing every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. So if you want to come out and talk about God and the universe with us and have a beer, come out sometime. We'll see you guys later.
Really all fun. Views are welcome. Anyone is welcome.
That's true. That's very true.
Come on in. See you there.
See ya.